Take your Bible and turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we're in the 10th standard tonight. And last week we went through God's good word, verses 65 through 72. And it's going to continue that theme tonight. But we need to understand that adversity brings an affirmation for the need of the word of God. We've all been afflicted. We all go through trouble. And that's when we need God's word. That's where we need God's word hidden in our heart. That's where we need God's word spoken. We need to pray God's word. We need to do all those things. The psalmist here talks about God's good word. Basically, it's based on God's good actions because it is God's way. God is good. It is something that's recognizable by everyone, including the lost. It's recognized as repeatable. God is always good. He doesn't do any evil at all. And it also is reliable. And it's also based on His Word. God's will is in agreement with His Word. And His Word is in agreement with His will. And they're not going to ever have a conflict. In verse 66 through 68, we see about learning good discernment. And we need to understand that there's only one, there is a source required, because we're not going to get discernment down here in ourselves. The natural man does not discern the spiritual things of God. They must be spiritually discerned. And the source is unique. It's God Himself. It's unreachable on our own merit. We have to have His grace. We have to have His Spirit. And the only way that we can have His Spirit is to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. You have to start sometime. If you always keep on thinking about, well, I ought to do it, you'll never get it done. You'll never start. And so as far as I'm going to make a decision now that I'm going to start looking at things God's way, I'm going to look at things with God's word in mind. Then there's a situation. There were two sources of adversity. The first one was that he went astray. He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. And so this is a consequence. And bad actions have bad consequences. Good actions have good consequences, and they don't get mixed. You can't have something good come out of bad, and you won't have anything bad come out of good. And in this case, the consequence is a negative consequence. It requires God's correction, because God loves us. He's going to correct everyone who is His child. And it requires commitment on our part that we would follow that. The thing that we need to understand when we're going through adversity and we're being corrected by God is to understand who God is and to know that. Know what God does is for our benefit. And then know what He says and that we would follow it. Then it's also good to trust in other affliction. Basically persecution. That was the second part. Okay? And so the affliction was people were standing up and basically verbally persecuting him. The affirmation, he said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm not going to listen to him. I'm going to listen to God. I'm going to find His word. I'm going to follow it. And then what the arrogant are going to continue to do? You can't change people. God will. Right. But what you can do is you can do the right thing. Because it's always the right time. It's always the right place to do the right thing. And so don't worry about, well, what other people perceive. It's what God wants you to do, and be faithful to that. Amen. Then there's the good result of affliction. There's a positive perspective. You know, this last Sunday we talked about fasting in Matthew chapter 6. And the issue is that fasting was supposed to bring someone closer to God, but they were making a big outward show of it. The thing is, we need to understand that God's doing all these things for our good. Count it all joy when you fall into what? Diverse temptations. And then in 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul had this physical affliction. Most people thought it was poor eyesight. He said, I besought the Lord three times for this. And he says, my grace is sufficient for you. Therefore, he says, I'd rather glory in my problems, that the power of God will rest on me. And there's a precious outlook. Folks, the Word of God is precious. You know, back in the day when Eli was the high priest and Samuel was born and he was given to God's service, it said that the word of God was precious in those days. It means that it was not being sought out. Folks, we need to seek out God's word. And we need to hold on to it like the most valuable possession we have. And so that's the outlook. So tonight we're going to continue in this thought of adversity. And the title of this section is Instructed by the Word. The psalmist here is wanting instruction. We'll be looking at verses 73 through 80. And it's the same thought. Adversity brings an affirmation of the need for the Word of God, and we need to do it. We need to learn it. There's two ways of writing this alphabet letter out. One is J-O-D, and one is with a Y. Okay? And so, this word means hand. We need to understand that it is the hand of God that does all these things. We need to understand that we are His hands as far as ministry is concerned. We need to understand that we need to lend a helping hand to other people. So this is, we know that God guides us with His hand. So, in verse 73, we see this word used. Thy what? Hands. Whose hands? God's hands. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, for I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I may not be ashamed. See, the experience of learning from affliction continues right here. And here's what we see here. We need to understand that it's the faithfulness of God that has afflicted him. No, if we were not God's children, he wouldn't bother us. He gives us over to a reprobate mind. And so, we need to pray for more experience in God's loving kindness. We need to pray for the gathering of godly to him and to us. We need to be working together. So tonight I want to look at three things. Firstly, I want to look at that we are faithfully fashioned by the Word. Then there's comfort and compassion from the Word. And then we're unashamed because of the Word. So in verses 73 through 75, we see the first point about being faithfully fashioned by the Word. Everything is from God. And God is faithful. In verse 73, he makes a confession. He says, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. First of all, the confession, I am made the way you made me. We see this going on over and over today. Now, people don't like the way they were made. Take that up with God. Okay? God made you a certain way for a certain purpose. We need to understand that and follow him and execute that purpose. Job 31 verse 15 says, did not he that made me in the womb make him, the people who were afflicting him? And did not one fashion what? Us in the womb. God makes all of us. And so the psalmist makes this statement. He says, thy hands hath made me. He used mom and dad as instruments. But he says, thy hands have made me. We need to understand where our life comes from. It comes from the Creator. He's the only one that can create life. Then the second part of this verse, it says, give me understanding. So the psalmist makes a confession that I need more understanding from you. You know, that should be our prayer too. We have not arrived. Every day we should have more understanding than the previous day. And we should be asking God for that. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to your what? Own understanding. In Psalm 119, verse 34, we've gone through this. He's asking this prayer, and this is a theme of this psalm. Give me understanding. Okay? Now, what is understanding? It's also the ability to recognize it and then to see the application in our lives and to do it. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. It says, give me understanding, and I shall what? Keep thy law. Yea, I shall what? Observe it with my whole heart. You know, really the issue is the more we understand about God, the more we want to obey Him. Amen. The more we want to love Him. The more we want to follow Him. The more we want to glorify Him. So the psalmist makes a confession. He says, I'm made the way you made me. Okay? And no one is an accident. We're not here by accident. There's nothing by chance. It's all under God's sovereignty. The second thing is I need more understanding from you. The third thing he says in this psalm is that I may what? Learn thy commandments. And what we need to understand is we need to understand that I need to learn more about you. Just as I get more understanding, I need to understand the deep things of God. You're never going to do it without study. You're never going to do it without prayer. I gave my first set of finals today. People found out that if they did not study, they did not do well. Okay? And we need to, and they found out that they need to what? Learn more. And as people left, I said, I guess I really need to start working in this class. Well, it's about time. Now, it's never too late to do the right thing. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 19, it talks about, he says, when you get a king, the king was supposed to go and write out all the law and have it in a book by his side. And it says here, and it shall be with him. And he shall read therein all the days of his life. Folks, we're going to rule one day. We need to read God's law. We need to keep it with us. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may what? Learn to fear the Lord his God, his creator. To what? To keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. Folks, we all need to confess tonight that we need to do more. That we're not God, we haven't arrived yet. We need to discover I am who God made me to be. We need to basically understand and cry out to God that I need more understanding from you, and we need to learn more about God and more about His Word daily. So that's verse 73. It is a confession. In verse 74, we see that there is a consolation. He says, they that fear thee will be glad when they what? See me, because I have hoped in thy word. Here's what we need to take away from this one tonight. I need to be an encouragement. What does it say? They that what? Fear thee will be glad when they see me. Why? Because I am fearing God. They are fearing God. We are fearing God. And that's an encouragement to everybody. And it keeps everybody motivated. Okay? 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. I was reading this today in my devotion. It said, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have what? May have fellowship with us. And truly, without a doubt, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, who made me, who told me what to do, who gives me His law and His will and His Spirit. And I need to be an encouragement to others. You know, there are certain people that you just don't want to be around. Why don't you want to be around them? Because they're a drag. Because they're not going the same way that you're going. Folks, that'll split up a church. That'll split up a family. That'll cause dissension and division. We all need to be going the same way. We all need to be fearing God. And if we're all fearing God the same way, we're going to be in unity. We're going to be in unity. So he says here, verse 8, they that fear the Lord will be what? Glad! Will be an encouragement to them. They'll be an encouragement to me when they see me, because I have hoped in my word. I need to be encouraged. And I guarantee the guaranteed 100% source of encouragement is God. It's God. In Psalm 130, verse 5, it says, I wait for the Lord. What does wait mean? I mean, I'm going to trust in Him. I'm going to rest in Him. And my soul doth wait. And in His what?
Word
do I hope. So, in verse 73, there's a confession. In verse 74, there's a consolation. I need to be an encouragement, and then I need to be encouraged myself. And the source of my encouragement is God's Word and God Himself. And in verse 75, we see a confirmation. I know! You know, things that we are absolutely sure of, I can say, I know. These things I have written to you that ye may what? Know that ye have eternal life. He says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right. The first thing we need to understand is that God is righteous. You are righteous. In Psalm 19, verse 9, it says, the fear of the Lord is what? Clean. Enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are what? True and righteous altogether. There is no shadow or barrenness of turning with God. And so, there's a confirmation. And folks, when you are encouraged, and you're looking for encouragement, you're looking positively, not negative, not trying to pick at things. The second part of this verse says, and thou, that thou in faithfulness had what? Afflicted me. Now, in a human sense, people who are troublesome to you, people who try you, you're not very happy to be around them. But God's Word says all things work together for what? For the good. To them who are called according to His purpose. Now, I'm going to give you, once again, let's go back to those two types of affliction. There's the test that tries your faith. And that's what we find in 1 Corinthians 10, 13. It says, you're faithful in affliction. 1 Corinthians 10, 13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but is such as is common to man. I need to be an encouragement. I need to be encouraged. We are all going through this together, okay? Amen. But God is what?
Faithful.
Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. You know what? Because if He did, He would not be faithful. But will, with the temptation or the test, also make a way to escape that ye may be able to hear it. So there are just tests in our lives that increase our faith. It could be done through persecution. It could be done through some sort of mountain that you have to make go away. If you have the faith to grant mustard seed. But then we also know that the affliction can come as a result of doing wrong. But either way, God's affliction causes us to go to Him. We saw this last week in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, talking about people who are not following Him. It says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you faithfully, as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" The psalmist confesses, "I am who you made me to be. I need you to give me understanding so I can learn more about you." Then he goes on and he says, "I need to be an encouragement to others so they'll be glad to see me. But in order for that to happen, I need to be encouraged by you." Then the next thing he goes, he says, "I make a confirmation that you and you alone are righteous. You're the standard. And you are faithful in affliction." And so we need to understand that we are faithfully fashioned and we are continuing to be fashioned by the Word. It's not just a one-time event. We're getting molded every day. We're getting molded every day. In verses 76 through 77, we see that there is comfort and compassion from the Word. It is comfort that encourages me. In verse 76, it says, "Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for thy, for my what? Comfort." Okay? You know what that really means? It means we need to ask Him for it. And then we need to be receptive of it. Because if we don't care, God's not going to help. And you're not going to find comfort. So we need comfort and compassion from the Word that encourages me. In Psalm 71, verses 19 through 21, it says, "Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? Thou, which has shown me great and sore troubles." There's the affliction again. "Shall what? Quicken me again." You know, how many of us have got to the point where just give up? I've had enough. But God's always there. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And He quickens you. He brings you out of that morass and says, "Okay, I'm going to keep on going. Quicken me or what?" Again, which means it happened before. It means it'll happen in the future. Okay? "And shall bring me up again from the what? From the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness," where people want to be around me, "and comfort me on what? Every side." And comfort me on every side. So in verse 76, he says, "Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to thy word, unto thy" who? "Servant." Now, that's another thing. We need a servant. Verse 77, "This compassion will enable me to endure." He says in verse 77, "Let thy tender mercies come unto me." So where do we get the compassion from? His mercy. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. "Let thy tender mercies come unto me." Jeremiah says that if it wasn't for the mercies of God, we'd all be consumed. He says that I may what? Live. "For thy law is my what? My delight." Now that's a Once again, another positive outlook. It's another positive outlook that we have here. In Psalm 143, verses 10 and 12, the psalmist says this. Same request. What's the psalmist asking for? Help me to get understanding that I may want to learn thy commandments. So the psalmist here says, teach me to do thy will. You're never going to understand how to do the will of God unless you understand the word of God. It won't work. You're never going to do the things that God wants you to do unless you are the next phrase, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me, that whole concept of a hand again, lead me into the land of what? Uprightness, where it's filled up with people who what? Fear God and are happy to see you. Quicken me. We've seen that word before. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may what? Live. Verse 12, and of thy mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. Now the only way that this is going to happen is if you do the last part of verse 77. For thy law is my delight. Now, a delight is something that you're happy to see. A delight is something that you want to do. A delight is something that you're happy to do it.
Right.
Do we want to see God's word? Do we want to hear it and hold on to it? Do we want to live it? So, we see here in these two verses that we get comfort and compassion from the Word. Once again, all these things come from God. God is the God of all comfort. When Jesus looked on the crowd, he was moved with what? Compassion. He was moved with compassion. And then the last piece of this today is because of all these things, I'm going to have confidence in the Word of God. And I am going to be unashamed. I'm going to be unashamed. The first thing he asked for in verse 78, he says, turn the tables on the arrogant. Okay? Turn the tables on the arrogant. He says, let the proud, and proud can also be translated as arrogant. Okay? Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But just like he said in the previous stanza, he says, I don't care what they do. I'm going to still stick to God's word. But I will meditate in thy precepts. You know, we know in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a what? Before a fall. In Psalm 9, verse 15, the Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. And look at the next phrase. The wicked, the arrogant, the proud, those that don't follow God, is snared by the what? By the work of his own hands. So, he says here in verse 78, let the proud be ashamed. The psalmist does not take this into his own hands. He said, God, you take care of this. And I'm going to watch. And I'm going to watch you work. See, here's the reality. God's enemies should be my enemies also. Okay? Friendship with the world is the enemy of God. So if we're seeking God with all our heart, and we're doing all these things, then we'll realize that those enemies are not my enemies, they're God's enemies. Yes. And then God will take care of it. And all I have to do is stand for what's right. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of God. It is a power. As Paul says in Romans chapter 1. So not only does he want to turn the tables on the arrogant, and that's his prayer, he wants to be turned into a testimony. Verse 79, let those that fear thee turn unto me. Now the word for turn here means to resort to or to come to. Once again, no one's going to come to you unless you have something that they want. We need to want God so much that it oozes out of us. And other people want that too. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have what? Known thy testimonies. So he wants to put himself in a place that he's surrounded by people who also fear God. Remember what happened to Lot? You know, Peter writes it very succinctly. He said that Lot was vexed by the filthy conversation of the wicked. There's only two ways to do this. You could be in the camp of the fearful of God, the ones that respect God, or you could be in the other camp.
Or sitting on the fence.
And so, when people look at you, what do they see? Do they see this camp? Or do they see this camp? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 through 13, he says, let no man despise thy youth, but what? But be thou an example of the what? Believers. We need to be an example. We need to try to be the best believer we can for God. Which encourages others to be better. Which encourages others to get understanding. Which encourages others to learn. Which means more people will follow and things will be good. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in what?
Word.
In word. That's what you say. In conversation. That's how you live. In charity, that's how you love. In spirit, that's who rules your life. In faith, that means how others see your belief and how it works in your life. In purity, that means we need to be holy. And then he says, till I come, give attendance to what?
Reading.
Reading. Reading what? Reading God's Word. To exhortation, to doctrine. So he says, turn the tables on the arrogant. Turn me into a testimony. And then lastly, in verse 80, enable me to turn my heart to the Word. You're not going to do that on your own. The Holy Spirit is going to have to do that for you. In verse 80, it says, let my heart be sound in thy statutes. That means it goes beyond just a familiarity with it. It goes beyond the knowledge of it. What did the psalmist ask for? Understanding. And he asked to learn. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. You know, have you ever had that experience in school or someplace where you thought you knew something and then you were called on to answer and you looked like the Aflac duck? And then all of a sudden you go, oh boy. And there's no way to recover from that. There's no way to recover from that. That's being ashamed. When you see a problem and you don't know enough of God's word to know the answer. When someone comes and asks you a question and you can't give them the answer of the hope that's in you, you feel at a loss for words. Christ promised his disciples, he says, they're going to drag you before magistrates and kings and everything else. Don't. I want to use what you know to help you there. But you need to know something.
Right.
Okay? I still can't get people to understand in that class that anything times zero is zero. I said, you can add a whole bunch of nothings together and you get nothing. They think you get one, three, one. Okay? Enable me to turn my heart to the word. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, God promises Ezekiel, says, and a new heart also will I give you. And a what? New spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. Okay? And I will give you a heart of flesh. One that God can mold. One that God can mold. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 12 says, apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the what?
Words
of knowledge. So let us be instructed by the word tonight. That's the whole thing. I hope that this has given you a, I want to learn more. That's what we need to do, okay? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says this. Study to show thyself approved unto God,
right,
a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We ask our kids to do that. We need to do the same thing. We need to do the same thing. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the word. Father, help us to change our life. Help us, Lord, be instructed by it tonight, Lord, that we would follow you with all of our heart. Father, if someone does not know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that this would be the night for them. They would realize that you died on the cross for their sins. You were buried, you rose again the third day. And that they need to ask you to forgive their sins and accept the free gift of salvation. Lord, I pray that someone will do that. Lord, I just ask that you just be with us, Lord, and help us, Lord, to be instructed by your truth. That we would follow it. That we would learn more. That we find comfort and compassion from you, Lord. And we're not ashamed of your word. And we're not ashamed of being a follower of you. Lord, be with this time of invitation. Have your full reign tonight through your Holy Spirit. We ask these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.